Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everyone, and good evening. Welcome to the AMMA Masters in Radio blog that we have, our network. We're very proud to be in your home. We're excited to be in your home tonight and allow us to come in every Tuesday at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, Texas time, 8:30, Mountain Time, God bless, 7:30, and Pacific, 6:30. So if you're listening around the country, again, thank you for spending time with us for the 6 hour and a few minutes. You know, the show is based upon not only sport karate, but the pioneers and masters and legends that we've accumulated through 60 years of sport karate in America. And sadly, every show, when we have something that's very deep, we always like to share it with you. And sadly, this year, we've lost quite a few history generals. Nancy Cyril, Ross Andy Horn, Larry Kelly, Jack Wong, to mention a few. Friday, they call it Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, we lost somebody in the sport karate community that was very close to a lot of us here in Texas. He was actually the first national junior black belt champion in the country. And the actual first Golden Greek Award winner, junior division in Texas. And I'm talking about Rooster Mackin. And we lost him Friday. And so I'd like to take the 30 seconds of silence for the show to start the show out. And you remember Rooster Mackin. And I know he's at peace now. And we love you, Rooster. So the next 30 seconds is for you, sir. We love you. Well, thank you for expressing that condolences for one of our great guys that we've lost. Our show tonight, you know, like I said, it's called Parts Unknown. And, you know, I am a different animal, as much as you know, that follow me and that know me through the years. And I'm not in my studio tonight. I'm not in my dojo. I'm not at the museum. I'm actually out in the middle of the woods in Texas, a place called Brazos Bend State Park. It's five lakes that's on the Brazos River, owned by the state. And actually, I'm out here for a reason. It's a place I used to go, well, I still go, bass fishing, and it's a honey hole. And but it's fun because I take a lot of people out here. It's a way to break people in. And I wanted to come out here tonight because I remember years ago when I brought Rooster out here and took him fishing. And it's my own personal peace to come out here tonight and do the show and think about my friend. And before I bring my special guest on tonight, and she is very special, I'm going to talk about her in just a minute, I got to just share a story just so you understand the meaning of what this man meant to all of us. You know, I created the first martial arts shows for the Six Flags Corporation back in 1979, 80, 81, and actually went professional in 1982. And it ran for, golly bum, almost 30 years. But the very first start shows were at a place called Six Flags. And it was one of the first Six Flags parks in the country. It was in Houston, Texas. And I did the very first show, and Rooster was part of that. And he was actually the youngest person of the group. But I remember taking him fishing on one of those excursions when he used to come from Austin, and his mom, God rest her and rest in peace, Judy. And his dad would bring him, drop him off a couple of days. And so besides doing the shows, I took him fishing, and I brought him out here. So I wanted to do the show out here tonight, and I wanted to remember my friend. But, he was an incredible individual, and he's going to be missed by a lot of his friends and his family. So God bless you, Rooster, and I just wanted to share with you that I'm thinking about you tonight. Hey, my special guest tonight is someone that, very much part of my life. She's an entrepreneur. She runs an outreach program called Legacy Tree Outreach. And she's also a very, very, very highly motivated speaker. And this year at the Living Legends 25th anniversary, even though she's been to quite a few karate events in the past and come someone and supported myself, she's actually never been to a Living Legends event. We've done 25 of them this year, and we're fixing to do our 26th one, September the 28th and 29th next year. But, Mishaka had never participated at a Living Legends event. So she not only came, but she brought her daughter and her husband, and they experienced the Living Legends. And so tonight, besides talking about the new things that she's involved with, we're going to talk about how she was impressed by some of the karate masters and pioneers that she met. And so we're going to have a Legends name game and talk about some of those people. We're also going to talk about what she's doing now in the community and how she's helping people individually with their outreach program, and talk a little bit about her entrepreneurship. And, Robin is a very special lady. She's been involved with reaching out and helping people pretty much all her life, and she started at a very young age. She was actually a model, and she actually, the rumor is, at a very young age, I'm talking about a really young age, she would go around to different houses and apartments and share and, witness her faith at a young age. And now she shares her entrepreneurship and her motivational skills with the special engagements that she speaks at. And I'm really excited about it. I was so motivated with what she did at the Legends this year. We've asked her to be one of the motivational speakers for the Women's Symposium that we're doing September the 28th and 29th in Houston next year at the Houston Galleria. So, and she's confirmed that she'll be there. So we're going to have a little taste tonight of her expertise in talking and building people's esteem up and just giving them a gung-ho type attitude. And so we're calling tonight's show the Professional Maximizer Show. And that's a terminology that I use at the Sport Karate Museum. We actually have an award that we give out to recognize professional maximizers. And basically what it is that you take an idea and you do it, you're successful at it, you make it happen for other people, and then push it to the extreme. You push past the envelope. You make it bigger and stronger and better than you ever had before. And you don't really understand what you're doing except that you're helping other people. And when you're passionate about something that you believe in, that is really the key that opens up so many doors, that you're passionate for other people and make things happen for other people. So we're going to continue on a little bit later with our segments, our mail segments, and, of course, our school shout-out and some other things coming up. But at this moment, I'd like to bring on my special guest tonight. And what's really cool about this is that she's not really a karate person. She's been, she knows it, and she knows about it, and she's been around it through excursions with myself, but she's just a really super neat person and entrepreneur, super cool, Miss Robin Shockley. Robin, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, how are you tonight?
I am doing wonderful, Gary. I'm so glad to be on your program tonight.
Well, I'm honored to have you. This is really cool. I mean, after all these years and all the things that we've gone through, to have you on the other side of the line to be able to talk to you about what you're doing and what you're involved with and how you were influenced by some of the people you met this year at the Living Legends. I'm excited about talking about that. But
absolutely,
me too. Yes, ma'am. And what's really exciting to me is that we've done this show weekly now, every Tuesday, all year, and everybody, except for this tonight, has been a black belt, a martial artist. And you're actually my first guest that I brought in that's not actually a black belt. But it's very important that my listeners understand that you were influenced by a lot of cool people this year at the Living Legends. And I want to talk about that. But basically, before we talk about that, I want to talk about what you do, what you're involved with, and how you got to that position. So let's kind of talk about the beginning. Let's talk about what I talked about in the beginning part, how you used to go as a child, and you were touched in the beginning to be able to go and share with people. How did you get, what made you decide to be the entrepreneur you turned out to be?
Well, it all started when I was young, you know, the way that I grew up. And I firmly believe, and, you know, Jerry, you know, you had asked me a question, how has your family influenced you over the years to get you to where you are? And one of the things I was thinking about that before when you were asking me the other day is that quality versus quantity. And I truly believe that it doesn't matter the quantity amount of the time that you spend as long as you value the quality of the time spent. So a lot of the times growing up, I witnessed a lot of quality time with my family. We would be doing, we did, my parents, they were very much into the missions and serving in the church and serving outside on the streets and things like that. And so I witnessed that. But also there was a lot of quality time spent where there was a lot of talking from my parents, my upbringing, my grandparents, you know. I'm a very spiritual person, so there was a lot of praying involved in my home, and I did go to church and such. But when I was younger, I would go and witness, you know, in the apartment complex where we lived, and I just had that spirit about me just to want to be kind to other people and just wanted to share my faith with other people. And I knew that then there was something unique about me. So what God did over the years is he took the things that I went through and that were negative, and he helped me see how I can turn it around to being positive. And so I don't want to jump ahead too much, but I do want to express how it's been very important and valuable to me to recognize, you know, how much family means. And to first just say this part, I know that it's very special to you that I'm even on this show tonight, but you have no idea what it means to me to be a part of this, because it was 10 years ago that the word professional maximizer even came up to me from you. I mean, I remember it. I had it wrote down for years, and I had it taped in my Bible. I actually had it taped on my computer stand, and then I transferred it and moved it to my Bible as a remembrance of what you spoke over me. And I firmly believe that, you know, there is power of life and death in the tongue. And I've always, you know, have been taught, and I've always lived by speaking life. And that there 10 years ago was life spoken into me, and something ignited. So the way that I was brought up with my parents that raised me and grounded me in my spiritual faith and stuff, and then as I grew up to be an adult, and after I went through so many trials and tribulations, I had already had it grounded in me that I was not going to be defeated by no means by anything. So when opportunities arose for me to start speaking and having the chance to mentor one-on-one, and that's how it started. People just started talking to me about their problems. They just started telling me because I was just so open to receive, to hear, and I always just wanted just to be an encouragement. And so that's really basically how it started. And then the doors just started opening for me to do more speaking, and the entrepreneur came in from just the words, literally. I knew that I had a passion to do more than just be here on earth. I knew that there was more greater purpose to me, but I had to discover the potential that was inside of me so I can get to my purpose and then run with it with passion. And in the midst of me going through all that process of trying to discover it by raising kids and being involved in sports and being involved in the community and being a wife and all these things, you came into my life again, and you started encouraging me and saying things and giving me key points. And, you know, I don't take that lightly. So, you know, you had a major, and I didn't tell you this as much before, but you had a major part, Gary, a major part into the success of my life today. And I'm very grateful, because what I look at that was tried to be a negative impact in my life that could have destroyed me, could have defined who I was because you wasn't in my life as a child, God knew that there was a greater purpose. And he got us close together so I could be there for you at times and you could be there for me at times. And I am so grateful for that. So I know I went long-winded to share a little bit about you, and I know that's a humble thing for you, but it's very important to me that I make that statement clear, that you had a major part, not just my mom and my stepdad Johnny, but you also had a major part, you know, in the success of the person that I am today.
Well, I appreciate that so much, but I understand, and I am very deeply moved by that. But I know
so
that your mom and thank you, and your mom and Johnny, and especially Shirley, and you know, her husband, of course, your grandfather, and they're just incredible people. So when you're around incredible people, you're influenced by that, and I feel blessed that you were around those incredible people. And, of course, golly bum, your two kids, Rebecca and Tyler, they turned out to be such incredible, good kids, and you did a good job being a mom. But, you know, I'm glad you explained, you know, a little bit about your beginnings and stuff when you were young. But, you know, something hit you, I guess, when you got a little bit older and you started realizing that word, the entrepreneur. When did it actually come into mindset? And I love using that word because that's my Auntie Jesse Bowen actually does a program called Mindset. But when did the mindset come in where you wanted to become an entrepreneur and you knew this was your calling to help people and make help them with their decisions and give them a positive input? When did that come about?
I would say around 25 years ago, literally, I started doing Mary Kay. I do Mary Kay on the side. That's Mary Kay Cosmetics and Skincare. And I've been wearing it faithful for all these years. But, you know, I went through a lot of training when I signed up to be an entrepreneur with Mary Kay. And so through the years, that company actually taught me a lot just through leadership and training that I had received. And so I guess it was about 10 years ago is when I started really implementing it even more, and I started
when you became a professional maximizer 10 years ago, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Okay.
And so to speed it up, I started I've always had a heart for people, you know, as I said. And like I said, as a small child, I used to go to the apartment complex and, you know, walk in there and do outreach and speak to people. Well, I've been all around. I've done speaking in different, you know, towns and such. But there was a transition that was taking place. And I'm pretty open. When I feel like I'm supposed to go down a different path, I usually follow that path if I feel like that's the direction that, you know, my Lord wants me to go. And so an opportunity came that I had a vision. I had been praying about it, you know, to serve people. And, you know, God took me from being in, I guess, the pulpit, so to speak, to the street. And so I opened up my own thrift shop because I wanted to have a food pantry, and that was the whole purpose. I wanted to be able to have a food pantry and have clothing to help people, because over the years, our family has done that. People would call me and say, Robin, I got this family, you know, their house caught on fire. Do you have a contact? So I would end up being, you know, that middle person who was the link between the person in need of help and the person who could be the helper. And so I did that over the course of years. My mom, my dad, we would go pick things up and take it, deliver it places. You know, my sister, we all did this as a family. And we even do we're very big on tradition. And we even give out toys. Like this year at Christmas time, we go singing in the streets. We've been doing this going on 26 years now, where we go singing in the streets. And my dad dresses up as Santa, my mom dresses up as Mrs. Claus, and we're the family is the elves, and we give toys out to kids in the neighborhood.
Wow.
So that's just a big thing that we've done over the last several years. And my nephews, Hunter and Fisher, which is my sister's children, they get a big kick out of being a blessing. And what a legacy that is to be able to teach children to give back at such an early age, you know. And so I've always wanted to be like that. And so the thrift store is just actually the covering to the food pantry. And over that is the Legacy Tree Outreach. So we've done Legacy Tree Outreach all these years, you know, but we never had a building up until 2 years ago where I would be able to, you know, do service out of it. I've had events at different locations, but now recently in the last 2 years, I've been able to have events through the community outreach at my building where, like, when it snowed one day, we fed hot soups. I had other organizations that partnered with me, and we gave out coats. And, you know, and so while I'm building this thrift shop of making sales and entrepreneurship, the core part of it is just having that servant's heart. And so through that, I was going through some struggling, and I was thinking, oh, my gosh, I want to keep this building. I don't want to lose, you know, I don't want to lose the building to be able to keep doing my outreach and keep doing the food pantry, because we give food out, food boxes, once a week. They can come once a month, but we give it out every week. People can come and get boxes. And we also partner with schools in the community as well and give them items, whether it's school clothes or food boxes. And so
Where are you located exactly in Greenville?
Okay,
South Carolina?
I'm in Greenville, South Carolina, a little town called Berea, between Berea and San Susie. I'm sure you remember that from a long time ago.
Yes.
And yes. I'm on 4006 Old Buncombe Road. So I don't know if you even remember that name, Old Buncombe Road.
Yeah, I do. But I do. Long time ago.
Yeah, so I'm really close. I'm literally right down the line in the middle of San Susie and Berea. But another entrepreneur business, I take after my seed,
Before we go in that business, Robin, before we go in that business, I want to go back a little bit.
Okay.
You know, the whole part of this change of program, because I was scheduled to talk about bodyguarding this week with a dear friend of mine, Bill Staley, and of course, you know what happened with my dear friend. And I just went, you know, I just kind of went nutso. I just went off the wall a little bit, and that's why I just wanted to make something real positive about this program and talk about this particularly. And I thought about you, because you do touch a lot of people and you reach a lot of people. So, you know, there's people out there right now who are martial artists who are struggling with life, you know, and I'm not saying that spiritually they need to become spiritual. I'm simply saying they need to reach out to people. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Again, this part's unknown. And if you didn't know the person, and a person calls you, and just because maybe your program or they saw you advertise or heard you in a radio program, and they called you, and they said, look, Ms. Shockley, I'm mentally confused, and I'm desperately thinking about, I don't know, I just need someone to talk to. What would you say to that person to uplift them, to guide them, to, you know, I mean, if you didn't know that person and they called you off the wall, what would you do to, and I will go back to the businesses, but I want to talk a little bit about this because you're very good at this. And I want to ask, what would you do to someone that you didn't know that would call you off the spot on a phone call and they need help?
Absolutely, absolutely. The first thing that I would say to that person is, that your choices or the things that's taking place in your life to make you feel this way does not define who you are. And that is not part of your purpose to be able to go through these things. Now, I understand there are people that go through, like, depressions and their struggles because of just life in general. I mean, it tears us down. We try to fit our life into having everything, we think that we got to have it all together and everything's got to be perfect. But you know what? I've learned a long time ago, and it took somebody very important to tell me this in my family, but perfection ruins happiness. But excellence is what grows you into who you are destined to be. And so
say that again. Say what you just said.
Okay.
Say that again.
All right. Perfection, it ruins happiness. When we try to be perfect in our being and try to have it all put together, you know, it's going to ruin our joy. But excellence, when we walk in excellence, it's going to grow us. It's going to grow us into who we are even destined to be, into our potential. And so when we leave that perfected world of trying to say, I've got to have it all together, I've got to have this schedule put together, I've got to be the breadwinner of my family, I've got to make sure that my kids are taken to all the sports, I've got to make sure that I have this organization put together for this event. And, you know, we sit here and we jumble in our head of trying to make things so perfect. We lose our joy in the middle of trying to make it perfect when that's not the way life is supposed to be. Life is not going to be perfect. Life is a roller coaster of up and down. And, you know, we have got to come to a place of practical priority. So I would tell the person who is struggling and who is down and they just can't keep it together, or they're just having a, you know, a sad time, especially right now during the holidays. It's really hard on a lot of elderly people. It's really hard on the people that are in the martial arts when they have, you know, they have a standard that they feel like they have to uphold, you know, and they can't let somebody see, you know, their uncovered mask, so to speak, you know. What I would say is that you don't have to have it all put together. You know, you just have to come to a place to say, okay, I'm going to start. You know, my stepdad, Johnny, always told me, he said, you mess up one day, it's okay. You can always start again tomorrow. But never stop. Never stop.
Right.
And one thing I learned is, you know what, pause for a call. And a lot of people say, what do you mean, Robbie, when you say pause for a call? I believe that there's a call when we take a pause, never a period, because we are to keep going until we have our last breath, okay? There's purpose for us being here. I don't care what's happened to you. I don't care what mistakes have taken place, what you've done. You know, I always say I choose to be a survivor of my mistakes, and that's what makes me see the beauty in myself once again. And so don't stop. Just take a pause. Take a time out if you have to. Back off some activities. I had to back down from a – I was very involved in church. And, I was just overwhelmed with so much. And it was okay. But I didn't think years ago it was okay to step back, you know. But sometimes it's okay to just take that pause and take a break. Take time to regroup, rethink, refocus, so you can jump back in and run the race again to whatever your purpose is. And so, you know, I have, because of the things that I've been through, I have compassion for somebody that's gone through some things. There's some things that you don't even know, Gary, that I've been through, and some things that I've done that, you know, I'm not very proud of, some of the mistakes that I made because I was depressed. I went through a major depression as a child and then even as an adult that people don't even know about. But I made a choice to say, okay, I'm going to stay humble.
Doesn't that make us stronger? I mean, really, when we go through the,
yes,
either the hurt or we go through the sadness of doing something that we realize that it was either wrong or we made a mistake. But as long as we learn from that.
Yes. And you know what? I truly believe that humble beginnings, this is something that, you know, that the Lord laid in my heart 10 years ago too, is humble beginnings produces victorious endings. And so I try to stay as humble as I can. And one way to stay humble is to have a servant's heart. And when I say servant's heart, that's S-E-R-V-A-N-T-S, a servant's heart is somebody that does things unconditionally. That they're not looking for a motive to get a reward or anything, but they do something from the heart because they care. And that helps me keep my mind off of being sad or being depressed, but even if it's just doing a kind deed. And that's where Legacy Tree Outreach actually was developed. That's our motto, which is, and
okay,
I'll say it, it's called Impacting One Generation to Another by the Positive Seeds We Sow Today. That right there.
Wow. Say that again slow. I want my listeners to hear that. Say that again.
Okay. All right. Our mission is impacting one generation to another by the positive seeds that we sow today. Not what we're doing
now,
when we
Now, who made that up? Who made that saying up?
Do what?
Who made that saying up?
Me. I did.
You did.
I have
Wow, you are a professional maximizer. Goodness gracious.
Oh, goodness. There's a lot. Everything that I've said to you, it came from me. Everything. Everything that I've shared with you, these are my words. These are things that
Did you study philosophy also in school?
This is what's so important. This is what I want the listener to know, okay? A lot of people in today's world, they think because of generations past, you got to go to school, which is good. You need to do that because I'm pushing that on my son. But, you got to have a degree in something to be something. That is totally false. I have a high school education. I do not have a degree in psychology or anything like that. But you know what? I love people. And I don't have a special unique gift as far as what the world sees it as. But one day I felt the Lord tell me this, and this is so clear, that, you know, because I would say, gosh, I can't sing, which I did when I was a little kid, but as an adult, I would say, I can't sing, I can't dance, you know, my daughter can dance, my son can sing, my son can dance, my husband sings, I have no special gift, and God said, you've got a voice, I've given you a voice, now I want you to use it, and that's when I started doing my motivational speaking, I started, you know, doing teaching classes and being involved in leadership and things like that, so you need to take, and that's where one of the outreach branches of Legacy Tree, Girls Gifted for God, came into effect because, you know, we use that because we all have an identity of something within us, a gift, a special uniqueness about us. And see, and I didn't know that for years. I thought that I wasn't valuable because I didn't do all these things the world thought that I should do, you know? So I've used my voice. And so through using my voice, I've been able to become an entrepreneur. I've become a motivational speaker. I've become a legacy leader. I've become, you know, various things. And so, you know, I give God credit for that.
And you impress so many people at the Legend. So with that said, I'm going to take a short break, Robin. And
okay.
Bring you back, and we're going to play the Legends Name game. And golly bum, I feel educated. I feel like I've been in classroom with a professor. Cool. I really appreciate you sharing with us that literally the outreach, no pun intended. I mean, that's what you did. But when we come back, we're going to have a little fun, mention some names that you met at the Legends. And so stay tuned, stay on the line. I'll be right back, okay?
All right.
Super. Hey, guys, I'm with Robin Shockley from Greenville, South Carolina, entrepreneur and leader and founder of the outreach program Legacy Tree, and we'll be back with her in just a few minutes. There's a couple things I'd like to mention off the bat before we go to our regular segments. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock, the producer of the Masters Pioneers in Radio show, my program, he has his own show. It's a fun show. It's called The Mindset Show, and it features Hunting Jesse Bowen. For people who don't know who Jesse Bowen is, I'm going to do another plug. He is the person who is behind the 2017 Who's Who in the Martial Arts. Now, this started with his instructors, Dan Wandoff and Bill Brooks, back in 1980, 81, 82, I believe. And in 2016, or actually before that, he really rejuvenated the idea of the book. Now, the book is not so much a me type of book like you see some of these books that do biographies of people. This is a different type of format. We want to just tell your story. That is the motto of our book. The Who's Who in the Martial Arts is stories of martial artists in America that help produce American martial arts. And Hunting Jesse Bowen, Mr. Joe Corley, and his Mr. Bowen's wife have worked really hard to pick out the individuals to be in the book. And you can get the hardcover, or you can get the soft cover at the various outlets, particularly Barnes & Noble. You can get it at Amazon.com. Or you can go to our friends at Century Martial Arts, in fitness and ask for the Who's Suit and the martial art book. Now, if you want to call directly and get it personally and actually talk to Auntie Bowen, you can call 919-618-8076. And that is 919-618-8076. And you can actually nominate somebody to be in the book if you are a martial artist and you have someone you feel that needs recognition or deserves recognition. Call him directly or order the book directly from Hansi Bowen. And we'd like for you to check it out. Who's Who in the Martial Arts? And also this program tomorrow at 12 o'clock featuring Hansi Jesse Bowen in the program called Mindset. I also do want a bigger plug for my dear friend Karen Eden. She has a very fulfillment empowerment show to build the mind up. And she is a fun show to listen to, and that's also on our network, the AMMA Masters Radio Network. So stay tuned to her show also. You know, we do have a segment that we started back in the beginning, and we brought it back last week, and we're going to do it every week since we're on every Tuesday night. And it's our email segment. And tonight we picked out a special email from Louisville, Kentucky, and this is from Mr. Jacob Williamson, and his question is, why aren't there basic rules for competition? You know, I've competed in four different groups in America, and they all have different rules. When will they unite? Well, that's a really good question, and researching and, of course, the history that I've been involved with martial arts and competing as long as I have for almost 40 years, I understand exactly your dilemma. Well, because there are so many different organizations, and I can name them, but there are so many, they have different rule sets. And there is some basic rules. For sport karate, it's 2 minutes. For sport karate, it's always been 1 point for basic punch. And years ago, they invented 2 points for a basic kick. But through the years, through different organizations, it's how you deliver that kick or where you deliver that kick or punch. For instance, some circuits don't allow the groin to be kicked. Some circuits doesn't allow the face to be touched. Some circuits, you're not even allowed to touch the body. Some tournament circuits, if you don't touch the body and feel the point, hear the point, or see the point, you won't get the point. So there's so many different organizations, and there's so many different rules. The question goes, when will they unite? They probably won't. The closest thing to becoming united, and I'm really proud of this, is 2020, when it's going to be introduced as a spectator sport in the World Karate Olympics. And the World Karate Olympics, it's going to be Karate Do. No tricks, no flips, just Karate Do. And even though the fighting will be different, it'll be based, I think, WKA rules. The unique thing about this type of competition, there'll be kata. And for all the years in Olympic competitions throughout the world, there's never been kata. It's always been fighting, taekwondo fighting, which is based on triggering shock, or judo, which is no contact at all as far as punching or kicking. So with Karate Do being introduced in Japan in 2020, the basic rules will be takedown, punch, sweep, lots of punches, and kata. So maybe then, when the world sees that the Olympics is really interested in doing real Karate Do, then we might have a system where we can unite the rules. But the answer to that question, I don't see it in the near future. It's been changed for so many years now and so many different organizations. I don't think there'll ever be one united. So I hope that answers your question, Jacob, and we surely appreciate you taking time to ask us the email. If you have a question and you'd like to be on the program and your email will be on the program, please mail it to ProfessorGaryLee@gmail.com, and we'll answer your email, whether we put it on the air or not, but we will answer all the emails, and we appreciate you taking time to write us. You know, also, I'd like to do the weekly shout out, and that's we do that every week now. We shout out to a karate studio around America, and we're going to do the shout out this weekend to a great guy who owns the largest sport karate Well, school in Houston. It's called Sport Quality America. His name is Mr. Bear Lobey. It's located in South Clay Road, and his number is 281-345-9200. Now, Mr. Bear Lobey was on the program a few months back, that he is a world champion, but he specializes in sport karate, and he does the extreme. He's one of the unique people that in the beginning levels of competing in different divisions like Korean, Japanese, creative, weapons, he won them all. Talking about Super Grand, major tournament each year. They have a world championship in sport karate. He won all his divisions. He's just an amazing instructor. Specializes in children. Just someone that I would want to take my kids to train with if I had to take someone. So look up Mr. Bear Lobey in Bear Creek, Houston, Texas. And that number again is 281-345-9200. Now his school was totally destroyed in the Hurricane Harvey and is being built up, and he's coming back fully strong. So, if you're in the Bear Creek, Houston area, Clay Road area, please sure look up Mr. Bear Lobey. And that's our shout out for the weekend, or so for the week. I mentioned earlier the book, Who's Who in the Martial Arts, and, it's kind of the heart of this program. We want you to contact myself through the email or call me directly at 713-483-0476 if you have someone that you feel that deserves to be recognized. Or, again, call Mr. Bowen at the number I gave, 919-618-8076, and get you a copy or find out what it's about, because, like I said, this program is based upon what we do with this book and how we share the knowledge of American sport karate or American karate in general. One more thing before we go back to my special guest. We're really excited about the network. We're on 24/7, and that is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And we not only feature the archive programs that we do with Karen and Auntie Bowen and, of course, my Parts Unknown program that we've done all year, we're looking for some serious people out there that would like to get involved with radio advertising or help get involved with producing and helping the show be more productive. And if you're interested in getting involved with this radio program and maybe working some an advertisement, we actually have a couple jobs opening, and you can contact Hachi Jesse Bowen or contact myself on Facebook, and let us know if you're interested in getting involved with the radio business. We're looking for a few good people, and we like young people that really are hungry and want to pursue something that's very exciting and also love that little touch of history that we do here on the show. So if you're interested, again, to get involved with the radio business and get involved with advertising, give us a call. You can call me at 713-483-0476 or call Hunchy Bowen at 919-618-8075. Well, I'm going to come back to my special guest tonight, and I'm all fired up with my professional maximizer, Robin Shockley. Robin, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, good. I'm going to play a game that I play with all my legends and masters, and since you're not a legend or a master in the martial arts, I still think you could qualify to play this game because you met some of these people at the Living Legends Celebrity Row. So I want to ask you a question about that before I start shooting names at you. What was that like for you to come to the very first one and be around that for that weekend? What was it like?
Oh, I felt so humbled, and it was just very humbling just to come and just to hear everybody laugh and cut up and just to reminisce about back in the old days and just to sit around and hear stories. And that was very enlightening to me because, one, I got to see a little piece of you, your history with some of the people, and then just to see the joy of people reuniting with one another.
It was so much fun having you and Gene and Rebecca there. And experiencing that, what I do daily. And it's kind of like, I don't mean a pun, but it's kind of like being on steroids those 2 days because I work all year to make those two days happen for everybody. And I just want to say again, thank you for coming and experiencing that. And so we're going to go over some names that you met, some people that you met. And I want you to tell me your impression of them and how they influenced you. And I'm going to start off with my dear entrepreneur friend and someone that just made a big impression on me, I think. His name is Steve Parks. Tell me about Steve.
Oh, gosh. I love Steve. My heart connected with him from the get-go because we both have the same passion to be motivational. And one of the things that, you know, I stuck out to me about Steve is that, you know, he knew how to speak about purpose. And he knew how to speak about seeing the potential in somebody and to perceive a thing. And so I think that's why I connected with Mr. Parks is because his energy, you know, we just connected because he was speaking to me and then I would turn around and say something back to him and we were just like going back and forth encouraging, you know, with our words. And it was really a powerful moment. I really enjoyed meeting him.
But he's a senior professional maximizer, without a doubt. He's one of my dear sponsors and entrepreneur and personal friends in History General. But Steve Parks really, really liked you. He thought you were, as we call people from Texas, someone with a lot of sand. And he goes, your daughter's got a lot of sand, Gary Lee. And I said, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Well, that's great. And I hope Steve's listening. He just got out from China. You know, he runs Ragsdale, which is one of the largest soft bait companies for bass fishing in the world. And, you know, I got to mention something about Steve, too. You know, he had hurt his leg, actually hurt both of his legs, and he was on crutches, as you remember. And literally not able to walk 3 to 4 days before the event. And he called me up, and this is what a professional maximizer is. He says, Gary, I'm a special guest speaker. We planned this all year long. I'm going to be there. I said, Steve, it's okay. I understand. I mean, both of your legs are out. You just had surgery. You know, it's okay. It's okay, little brother. And he slapped me across the face on the phone. He said, look, I'll be there. And sure enough, he was there. And what a mindset that guy has. And I'm so glad you got the meeting. Let's go with the producer of this show, my dear friend and someone that impressed you deeply, Mr. Jesse Bowen. Tell me about him.
Well, Jesse's table was set up right beside my table, and we just connected when I spoke with him. What I got from him was empowerment. I listened to him as he, you know, was talking to me, and then I watched him as he talked to other people, and he was just very empowering when he would speak about, you know, the books and about what his purpose is and what his cause is in life is to help others. And the word that comes to me with him is recognition. He knows how to recognize and bring out the best in people so other people can see the best in them as well. So he was a joy to meet and to talk with. And you know, he was just a light. I really was blessed to meet him.
Well, you know, he was so impressed with you. He mentioned, and I believe he also actually asked you too, that you get involved with some type of purpose within our program and help us with some degree get positive input. So I hope that works out. I hope that you get involved with him in that degree.
I would love that.
He is a special person, and not just because of the Who's in Martial Arts, but just who he is as individually. Because you know what he told me last night in our special talk that he called me? He says, Gary, I think I'm going to compete again. And I say this, Steve, because he was one of the best weapons performers in the country when he competed at his young age. And now I know he's almost a senior student, but he's going to come. He wants to compete back in the Battle of Atlanta. So with his mindset and his determination and who he is, I'm sure he's going to do really well. And everyone's looking forward to seeing him pick up that bow again. So God bless you for meeting Jesse Bowen. Now, you met another person on our radio show that has a show, and I get excited just saying her name because she's such a motivational person for me, and that's Karen Eden. And Karen, tell me about her.
Okay, Karen is just precious. I remember meeting her for the first time without the introduction. We were actually on the van going somewhere. They were taking her and dropping her off somewhere on one of the hotel vans, and we were in the van, and I asked her. I said, "Are you here for the event?" And she said, "Yes." And so I said, "Well, are you into karate? Because, you know, this is all new to me. I don't know a whole lot about martial. Well, I know more now than I did before, but at that moment, I didn't know a whole lot." And then I said, "Well, are you into karate?" And she looked at me, and she turned her head back with real confidence, and she said, "I am a master." And I think she said, "I have six white belts." I can't remember how many she said, but I loved her confidence, but her free spirit as well, because we got to talk for a few minutes, not a whole lot at the event, but we did get to talk for a few minutes, and we connected because we both were, you know, quoting scriptures and saying things to each other, and it was just really cool. So what impressed me about her was just her confidence and just her free spirit. You could tell there's a genuineness about her.
Now, you met someone very special to me, and a lot of people don't know her, but she's the daughter of what Bruce Lee called him, the most dangerous man in America. And I'm talking about the daughter of Jim Ronan Harrison. Her name is Tanya Razzis Harrison, and you connected with Tanya. And Tanya runs the Missoula School for Mr. Harrison, and she's the actual daughter of Jim Harrison. Tell me what you're impressed with her.
Oh, she was so precious. I mean, gosh, I didn't know who she was. And she come by our table to look at our paparazzi jury, mine and Rebecca's table. And, you know, she was so friendly, and she just had a beautiful smile about her. And, you know, and I introduced myself and told her, you know, we were there to sell. But I said, I'm actually Gary Lee's daughter, you know, and this is his granddaughter. And she's like, "Really?" She said, "Well, I'm Jim Harrison's daughter, you know." And, and we both... we just giggled and laughed, and I said, "How cool!" And then so we took some pictures together, and you know what she even did for us, which I thought was very commendable. She became a spokesperson and did a live video for us. So I kind of did a little interview with her on a live video, and we put it on our Facebook
page. She got a Professional Maximizer Award this year, so she's part of your alumni. She's part of your club now. She's also
awesome.
A professional maximizer, too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's Tommy. She's a sweetheart. Now, you met a wife of someone very special to the museum. He's so special that he's actually a legend. And his name is Mr. Riggington. And you met his lovely wife, Judy. Now, you communicate with her with your jewelry and stuff, but tell me your influence on Judy and did you actually meet Mr. Riggington too, Ms. Rick?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And
okay.
Miss Judy, she just had a sweetness about her. She came in and she was looking at our jury and she told us, this is what she said, "I am so excited that there's something here for me." She said, "You know, I go to all these events with him to support him, but I'm so excited that I can come and have something for me." And so she would come down to our table, and, you know, she shopped and she talked with us. And, you know, what I got from her was just the sweetness about her. And she was a great supporter at the event. But not only that, she was genuine, too, because she has become a regular customer of ours. She buys from us.
Cool.
Bought something from us, I think, like a week ago. So, yeah, she buys jewelry from us, and she's just precious. She was just so sweet to us, and she was very grateful that she was able to have something there for her as well at the event. And we just chit-chatted, and she was just, there was just a sweetness about her.
Well, that's the perfect thing of yin and yang. I mean, her husband, Rick Riggington, is probably one of the dangerous men I've ever met. He's just an incredible martial artist and no-nonsense type of guy, but probably one of the fastest hands I've ever seen. And he's coming back next year. I'm sure Judy will be with him to actually do a knife seminar. So, you know, they'll also hear you speak. And so they'll be back next year. Now, with that said, we're going to be – I've got two more people I want to ask about. And so I'm, before I talk about the last person, I want to talk about this person because you met him actually a couple of years back when we got together and we were sharing our time together. And I introduced you to him and his lovely wife, Summer. And I'm talking about Jamie Cashin, the one and only amazing Jamie Cashin. Now, you mentioned earlier about someone who comes across as being too happy, too loving, too friendly. That he is, you know, because he hasn't changed in all the years.
Yes.
And today, even today, when he was doing a fire, because he's a fireman, he was doing an inspection, he would just go happy-go-lucky, you know, Jamie Cashin, tell me, he's just a joy. Tell me how Jamie's impressed you.
Oh, gosh, I love Jamie. You know what? The too happy saying, I think that's why I love him so much, is because, you know, I get told that a lot of times too because I'm so happy all the time. And Jamie, there's just a spark about him. And I met him in, I think it was in June of 2011 when we were in San Francisco for an event. That we came to see you and spend time
Mark
with you.
Jerry's Father's Rose. Day. Mark Jerry's Rose, yeah.
Yes, that's right. And Jamie and Summer, I remember you kept telling me, I want you to meet this guy and his wife, and you're going to love them. You know, you're going to enjoy them.
We had sushi, I remember. Didn't we have sushi together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? Jamie took Gene. This is what impressed with me, because Jamie didn't have to do this. He could have just been nice to me because I was your daughter and such. But he literally took Gene and I under him and Summer's wing. And he literally took us around, took us to get the experience of San Francisco. We laughed, we cut up, we giggled, we just talked. We talked about, you know, each other's life histories, and we just got to be friends and get to know them. And so this year, when we saw Jamie and Summer again, it was like, oh, my gosh, this was so cool to be able just to hang out with them for a little bit again as well, because it was such a great time how they just took us under their wing in 2011. And we kept in touch through Facebook all these years. I mean, Summer will comment on my posts. I'll comment on hers. Yeah. Jamie will, you know. And that's awesome when you meet somebody that you can still have that connection, you know? And, I really enjoy Jamie and Summer.
Okay, I got one more for you, and this is a good one. As we say in Texas, she is full of sand, and you got to meet her, and next year we're actually roasting her. She's on the agenda to be roasted. And, you know, every 3 years we're going to be honoring the women of martial arts. And this year we'll be doing a women's empowerment, a women's symposium, which you'll be a big part of. But we're roasting this young lady, and you met her. I say young lady. She's a young lady in my heart, but she's amazing to be 70-plus. I'm talking about Mikey Romore, and one of the original superstars of sport karate. You get to meet her and talk to her. Tell me what you thought about Mikey.
Oh, she was absolutely precious. She was like a she was a tough Barbie. That's how I look at her.
Yeah.
She was like a
tough
Barbie.
I like that. That's a new. Oh, I got that's great. So, tough Barbie.
She's so beautiful. She is so beautiful.
Yes,
but she's tough.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I asked Rebecca, would she watch our table so I could go in and watch a little bit, you know, of the performances and stuff and the training. And so I happened to go in at a time where she was actually doing her teaching. And so she was showing people how to do the kicking and stretching and stuff. And I was just so touched by that because, you know, she gave that drive to push, that gung-ho, so to speak. And I just loved it. I see her as being like a tough Barbie because she was tough on them. She was showing them and stuff, but she was gorgeous. She's so beautiful. And I just picked up that she's sweet as could be, but she's a tough Barbie.
Well, our cartoon character, we call her the Firecracker. And
Firecracker, okay.
she's a firecracker. But, you know, you're going to be speaking next year at her roast at the symposium and stuff, but you know, she is very special. And, you know, of all the women that I could go after and burn at the stake, it's gonna be hard because, you know, she's probably one of the best ambassadors that I've created within the museum. She traveled all around the country, her and her husband Dana, last year, from Las Vegas to Washington, D.C., to South Carolina, and she's just an amazing individual. And I'm so glad you got to meet her because she's just a big part of my life. And thank you for talking about the legends and talking to them because they are
can
special.
Can I say one thing, Gary?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
I wanted to bring up these two gentlemen, and they wasn't – well, I think they did get an award. I don't know what award they got, but they did get an award. But these two guys, and I still keep in touch with them as well through Facebook, but these two guys impressed me, which is Mr. Johnny Thompson and I think it's Jose. Is his name Jose? The guy that
The Hawaiian, the Samoan guy. You're right. Are you talking about him?
Yeah,
the brother, the Samoan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good guy. Well, Johnny Thompson and I were competitors and actually fought each other. He's a great guy, man. I'm glad you got to meet him.
Yeah, and I really like them because I went looking for you at one point to go, you know, see what was going on and just talk to you, you know, just see how things are going and such, you know. And I went looking for you, and you were in a room in the back, and y'all were just sitting down, and y'all were sharing stories, and they were just they were sharing the heart of martial arts, and they were so eager to hear about the legends. They were so eager to hear the history, and you know what? That is what made a big impact on me. That whole trip. That I think that's one of the biggest impacts was being able to hear and see them really want to get to the root of what you're doing and what the purpose is of the Living Legends and the Karate Museum. You know, so it really touched me to get to know them and to meet them. And, you know, and they're customers, too. They bought jewelry from me, too, for their family members. So
that's cool.
They were precious. They were precious.
Well, Johnny's going to be on the show later on in the year, and I appreciate you saying that about my dear friend, Johnny Thompson. He actually was, him and his partner, Tom Balvis, they were actually super competitors back in the 80s. And he's very involved with Tengsudo, and he's a veteran. God bless him for his service. And he actually put together the Kata Wars Silver Cup that we give out every year at the Kata Wars title that Darlene McPherson and I put together. So with that said, I gotta say thank you again for your time tonight and talking about the input of helping people with problems that they might have and to reach out and to be positive in what they do. And thank you so much for talking about the legends and the pioneers and the friends of the Sport Karate Museum and what you are. And today I got a special surprise for you, Robin. I made some phone calls. Yes, I made some phone calls like I normally do every day, and I actually called these phone calls about you. And so with that said, I got unanimous vote from everybody I talked to actually make you an ambassador. So as of tonight, your name will go underneath the ambassador list of the Sport Karate Museum. Congratulations.
Wow. Are you serious?
Well, I'm very curious because I called everybody, that a lot of them that you mentioned tonight, and they, you know, I'll tell you what happened. When you went up there and you spoke that night at Legends and you did your thing that you did on the spur, on the moment, you didn't really have any preparation, and you did that, and you did the spelling, it really overwhelmed a lot of people. Because when I told them, not that what you're talking about, but it overwhelmed them that you did it on the spur of the moment. It showed the professional mechanism and the enthusiasm you have about life. And it impressed them. And everybody that I talked to and asked to make you an ambassador, you know, most of them mentioned that. So congratulations, on adding your name to that list. And you can actually go to the sportkaratemuseum.org. go through the ambassador list, and that's where your name will be listed. So congratulations, Robin. Well deserved. And now you're part of the alumni without even being a black belt. How cool is that?
Oh, my gosh. I am so honored. I am so humbled. I love you so much. And thank you so much for considering me.
I love those guys because I wouldn't have done it. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You know I am.
Thank you, everybody. I love y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. They love you too, what you did. So, you know, with that said, I'd like to close out by saying thank you again for your time tonight. And for my listeners who are listening, you know, tonight was a special show. It was a special show because, you know, things happen. We don't expect them to happen. And when they do happen, you know, some people call it Murphy's Law. Some people call it fate. Some people call it whatever. But we deal with it. And my dealing with it was coming out into the middle of the woods, talking to my daughter and hanging out with Mr. Bowen every Tuesday night and bringing the sport karate history into your home. Now, I was asked last night when I had my special meeting with Mr. Bowen that we'd like to do something. We would like for you to contact us and tell us what you want to hear, what you want to talk about. If it's about, you know, sport karate pioneers and legends, we'll talk about that. If it's about present-day martial arts skills, we'll talk about that. If it's about the future of martial arts, we'll talk about that. And we've talked about a lot of that stuff in general, and we will talk about that more. But if there's any specific items or things that you would like us to talk about, please contact me, ProfessorGaryLee@gmail.com, and I'll pass it by Hunter Bowen, and I'm sure that we'll definitely decide it if you ask for it. So with that said, and Robin, thank you again for being here tonight. Again, mention your address and your web page and your phone number. So if anybody would like anything in Greenville and they want to come by and visit you or just get some positive input, give us some information how they can contact you.
Absolutely. Okay, Legacy Tree Outreach, we are located at 4006 Old Buncombe Road, Suite B, Greenville, South Carolina, 29617. My email address is lt_outreach@charter.net. And my website for my Paparazzi Jewelry Accessories is www.paparazziaccessories.com with the numbers 89643. That's very important, 89643. That is my connection number. So if you're wanting to order some jewelry or you want to sign up to be a seller, you know, hook me up, call me. My number is 864-313-4964. Leave me a message. I do text as well. So I would just, you know, give me a shout. You want to connect with me if you're in Greenville. If you're not in Greenville, you want to connect with me. I would love to. I'll travel. I speak. I go to different places. I don't mind. I love tonight the opportunity to be able to chit-chat and share my heart and my passion for people. And so, you know, I'm available. So,
Well, I've been practicing all day to say this, so make sure you tell Shirley and Poppy and Johnny and Lois and Diane and Getty and, Rebecca and Tyler and Miss Cross and I don't want to forget one, the little one, Becky.
Yeah, Hunter
and Chris. And Chris, and there's one more, the
Becky.
There's one more. I see her little
Becky.
Smile. No, I said Becky.
Oh, you did?
I said Becky. The one right after Becky, a little bit older. Not
Debbie?
Not
Bridget.
Not Debbie.
Bridget.
I said Bridget. So let me say it again. Okay, Shirley, Poppy, Mrs. Cross, Lois, Johnny, Becky, Bridget. Debbie, Diane, let's see, who else is it? Guillermo, Rebecca, Tyler, his dog, of course. Everybody, tell myself I love him and hello. And Gabriel.
I will.
The little granddaughter. Great granddaughter. My great granddaughter. Great, great granddaughter.
Yes, Ella.
Huh? Ella. I know you're getting ready for Christmas, so make sure you tell everybody I said hello and I'll talk to you real soon, Robin. Thank you again for being here tonight. And again, from the AMNA, Masters Radio Pioneer Show, we say goodnight. You guys have a great, great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday night. And God bless you guys. Aloha from the Masters Radio program. Good night.
Good night.
Oh.